This is the World Yo-Yo Contest official Yo-Yo Wiki podcast event where you can meet the team Yo-Yo Wiki podcast.
Of course, it should be noted that this is not the official World Yo-Yo Contest. That's next door.
But we didn't sponsor that event, so we're just here to get up in the event coordinator's cha.
Did you say cha?
Fuck you, Yomega.
Shalikdo. Doc popular. Yo-yo.
Wiki.
Yo-yo. Wiki. Yo-yo.
Wiki.
Yo-yo. Wiki.
Yo-yo radio.
Yo-yo radio. Yo-yo radio. Wiki. Yo-yo wiki. Wiki. Yo-yo wiki.
Yo-yo wiki radio. Podcast.
On yo-yo radio.
Wiki.
And welcome to the official World Yo-Yo Contest edition of Yo-Yo Wiki Podcast. This is Dr. Popular from San Francisco and Josh Parker in Minneapolis. How you doing?
I am fantastic. So, we are going to dedicate this show to the World Yo-Yo Contest, you know, as much as we can. There's a lot of stuff to cover. So let's get straight on to it.
But yeah, Josh, we thought that this would be a good system if we didn't want to be too entrenched into the World Yo-Yo Contest. So Josh Parker himself went to the World Yo-Yo Contest. However, I wanted an outsider perspective. I didn't want to, get all spoiled and glitzed and glammed by the events. I wanted to see the gritty truth of it. So I decided to, review the World Yo-Yo Contest from San Francisco.
All right, good deal. So let's start with your perspective there, Doc. What do you think just overall of the coverage and of the event and who won? And
I thought that the event was going to be like smaller than usual or something, but just because it seemed like the week before, like everybody was talking about not getting their visa or whatever. So I just really thought that. I mean, I know a lot of the key players key kind of people couldn't make it, but for the most part, it looks like the attendance was actually up this year.
Yeah, it was a very well attended event this year.
It still looks like the stage lighting kind of sucks. They still apparently leave the lights on in the entire room when they do the routines. And that makes for kind of bad videos and just kind of non-professional. We always talk about antsing up, the professional side of yo-yoing. And I think, the World Yo-Yo Contest isn't really helping with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree with that. The videos don't look great. They could have used more black surrounding the stage, but there's only one black, and he won AP, so.
Yeah, I was going to make that joke. It's not just that. It's really, having those lights on the whole room really makes a big difference. You can see the players fine when you're watching or whatever, but it should really be to look like a professional event. You know, the lights should be off. There should be a stage, and that's where the lights are. And so that's always driven me nuts.
There should be party lights between competitors.
Party lights, light switch,
maybe a disco ball,
light switch rave.
Yeah.
what about your overall thoughts of the World Yo-Yo Contest at a glimpse?
Well, this was, as you might know, my first time going to the World Yo-Yo Contest, and I loved it. It was one of the most fun events that I've ever been to. I liked having the hotel, and everything was just right there. It just made everything really easy, made it really easy to meet people. And I like the whole ether of the World Yo-Yo Contest. I think it works really well. And this year, was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about what we did in our intro, the Yomega Meet the Players event. Do you want to describe what happened with that?
I really don't know too much about it. I heard that it happened. Rob Kitts and the other kids were passing out flyers to this Yomega event, and I didn't really think much of it, considering Yo-Yo Jam was doing the same thing and Yo-Yo Factory was doing the same thing. But it turns out Yomega didn't sponsor the event, sponsor the World Yo-Yo Contest. And so the fact that they rented a salon and were selling yo-yos was definitely a slap in the face of Greg Cohen. So, and I guess Greg got super pissed off about it, threatened to disqualify any player using a Yomega yo-yo sponsored by Yomega or wearing a Yomega shirt or something like that, which I hope he wouldn't actually do that, you know. But he definitely threatened to.
Yeah. Well, I you know, the post that Steve kind of points it all out. If you didn't see it, it might be on all boards. It's on yoyoing.com's news board. You know, Steve just goes on to say that it's just really exploitive, and I can totally see all that. Although, really, Greg's contest is kind of outrageously priced for sponsors. And I could totally see, I don't know, like in my mind, if companies are so willing to go but can't afford that cover, you know, instead of being totally upset with the companies, maybe we should be like a little equally critical of how actually expensive and, you know, the benefits versus the cost, you know, of Greg's contest. It's not cheap to get a salon and, you know, to do all the things they did. So it wasn't necessarily just they were being cheap. Like Greg's events is extreme. So
I don't have any idea what the cost is to sponsor. Are we talking?
I think it's like $5,000. I think it's $5,000 to have a table. I think he's up there with like nationals rates, and I could be wrong. We'll find out. We'll talk about that next week. But yeah, it's not just a matter of like $1,000 or less or whatever. It's pretty steep. I mean, for $1,000, your banker probably would have been willing to get their name up on the board and have a table or whatever. But past that, I mean, considering like I said, considering how kind of informal the contest itself is run, it's not like a $5,000 you know dollar table that it's worth or whatever.
Right.
So we'll definitely do some more research and talk about that next week. Maybe nobody knows about that. That's not what they do. It's not like they have a face or anything. They're a total faceless kind of company.
Right.
Well, what about, can I mention something, non-worlds related? I forgot this. DocPop.org is now up. I had some help from you and some help from Bill Streeter from LoFi St. Louis. And if you go to docpop.org and go to the blog, which is docpop.org/blog, up on the top post or the most recent post as of today, there's a crapload of videos. I did a video from the Exploratorium in San Francisco with Make Magazine. And then LoFi St. Louis also did this mini documentary on the Missouri Yo State Contest and me visiting out there and stuff like that. So, yeah. You check out docpop.org and check out the videos up there.
All right, I'll do that. Actually, I already have.
Already have, yeah.
So, you know what we should do? We should play Name That Yo-Yo.
Oh, yeah.
While we're off topic.
Let's do that.
Okay. It's the podcasting sensation that is sweeping across the nation. I'm sure you've heard of it. Everybody has. It's Name That Yo-Yo. All right, so I'm going to go first here. All right. You ready? Mm-hmm. I'm ready. Can you hear that?
World's Edition Diffio. Wea?
What? Is there even a World's Edition Diffio?
Yeah, he did some crossbones or something.
Oh, that's right.
Some of those, like, majorly over... Oh. Okay, that was my guess.
We've discussed this yo-yo a couple times on the show, and it's a new product.
It's a product we have discussed a couple times, or...
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was released at Worlds.
Oh. Gosh, I really just wasn't too familiar with the Worlds lineup. Is it that Fat Ladies?
The two Fat Ladies? No. Oh. Which was a very nice playing yo-yo, but no, it is a Yo-Yo Factory Speed Dial.
Oh, the Speed Dial. This is one sleek-looking yo-yo. It's one of their coolest-looking yo-yos, except for those. I think those knobs are just really ugly, but the design itself just looks really smooth.
I don't think the knobs are ugly. I don't feel that way. But I think they're too big.
Yeah, that's what I mean. They're pretty big. And then they're also, are they plastic?
Yeah.
So they just look kind of weird on like the metal yo-yo to me. Are there other parts of plastic in that yo-yo?
The rims are plastic.
Okay, cool. Because I noticed it was like a two-tone. Boy, that looks neat. I want to try one of those now.
And and it's painted metal. To out there to anybody who's wondering, that is not anodized. That is painted metal.
Saves on costs. But that plays good.
Was that,
was that your favorite yo-yo you picked up at Worlds?
It's the only yo-yo I picked up at Worlds. Word.
All right, let me do mine as best I can here.
Okay. I'm going to say that is an anti-yo flux.
Nope. Let's see here. The yo-yo stock. Trying to think of a good term. The smaller version of this yo-yo only weighs 1 gram lighter than the regular size.
Oh, that's a dirt.
That's a dirt. Freaking love my dirt. I started off only the mini dirt, and now I think I play with my dirt more than I play with my bolt, which is almost unheard of. Definitely more than I play with my end. I love this show.
Did you silicone it?
I think this one might have come. Yeah, I siliconed it. He had some that were siliconed. I siliconed this one.
Awesome.
So it's not stock, I guess. Could have been if I would have picked a different one. This is also not a fat lip. And it has so this is one of the older ones, I guess. I hardly do those grinds anyway. But it's also got some weird little like drilling marks or something for an inside design. Like instead of being just smooth on some of his older dirts, he sort of did these little, like, a little bit of a drill, pulled it out, a little bit of a drill right next to it, just to kind of tarnish it. So it's just all these kind of, like, golf ball little holes on the inside.
Really?
Yeah. So fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, I love the dirt. Big fan of that Russ.
Yeah, me too.
Well, let's get into some specifics about some of the routines that we saw. Is that good?
Yeah, we'll start off with Mickey, Mr. Hiroyuki Suzuki. What did you think of the freestyle, Doc?
I was really excited to see Mickey's routine. He got second place, and I was curious to see what his routine was going to be like this year, because every year it was the year before. This year was actually pretty different. But unfortunately, it was just full of misses. He missed his first whip, which was like his second trick.
Yeah.
And it almost, I mean, watching it, it's almost like just this downward spiral. And he's really impressive. He's a, you know, real pro because he keeps a smiley face and he keeps going through. But it almost looks like he got just a little behind in his music or something. And he tries to speed his way up and he just misses so much. Yeah. Matter of fact, I can't even believe he got second place. It was not a second place routine.
I'd agree with that. But I got to say, like, some of the stuff he did in there, you know, he was on the ground doing the stuff under his leg and stuff like that. And that was cute or whatever. But then the stuff he was doing right after that, amazing.
You think that's what won the contest?
Yeah.
Got him second?
Yeah, I think it was. Because he was hitting that pretty solid. But speaking of professionalism, did you hear about the awards? And when Hiroyuki Suzuki got second, when Mickey got second,
no,
he took off his medal and was really, really angry and very unsportsmanlike.
Wow.
Yeah.
Apparently he didn't see his routine.
Yeah.
He missed it. Yeah. Wow. No, that's crazy. Did you see those shoes?
No.
Those sparkly shoes matching his sparkle sparkle power vest or shirt that he has there.
Wow, I didn't notice that at all.
I think we should totally try to get Joel Zane to pass on the sparkle vest. I totally think we and the bow tie.
Oh, yes, man. Yes, totally.
Mickey's got to come out that way. He's got to just reinvent himself as a blue sparkly person instead of a red and black sparkly person.
Yep.
So wow, crazy misses.
Yep, and definitely not a first place World Yo-Yo Contest routine.
All right, so the next routine that we saw was Yuki Spencer's first place World Yo-Yo routine. Josh, what were your thoughts on that?
That video was terrible. But the routine is amazing.
Wait, what do you mean the video? The quality? The
yeah,
angle,
the quality. Yeah, the
minute
quality.
And a half before it starts?
Yeah. The quality, you can't really see too much of what's going on.
First off, let's point out that we're watching the videos from yoyoing.com's video site, which were all put up by Yama, Yama 18. And somehow, despite the fact that he's not anywhere in the U.S. or anything, nowhere near the contest, he somehow had the videos going up like the day of the contest. And
how does that happen?
I don't know. I mean, I can see how. I mean, you know, people were probably sending him. Somebody must have been sending him the video, and he probably started on it right after the freestyles. And then it takes a while before they announce the winners and everything. So if he's already got kind of all the videos laid up, all he has to do once he put like first place. Actually, the videos don't even say anything, do they? On them, I thought that they said like first. Oh, when he put them on, though, they do. When you look up the description, unfortunately, Yama didn't take the time to add the player's name or the event or any of that stuff. Which,
right.
Although we're all pleased that these are up now, imagine how difficult it is to look them up later when these get buried off the first page.
Right.
Because there's no way to look them up, and he can't edit them because of Greg's system. Once something is up, it's not editable.
Right. It's not edible. But as far as the routine itself goes, so it's pretty darn solid.
It's amazing. I only counted, just loosely watching, 11 misses.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you the last 11 misses. And usually the harder the stuff you're trying and the faster the stuff you're trying, the more misses you're going to have. It's okay.
Right.
You're going to still do good because you're hitting a lot of good stuff. But he did a top-notch routine with only 11 misses. And you remember his BAC routine. Everybody was just drooling about how amazing it was, life-changing, best routine they ever saw. And you and I saw it, and it really wasn't that good of a routine, his BAC routine. But this was amazing. Amazing routine. Loved it.
Yeah, just absolutely phenomenal. I think one of my favorite parts of the video is the fanboy screaming in the background.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Just like, ah! Ah! Like a...
I thought that was you.
No, the yo-yoing version of the teenage fangirl. She's like, yeah, it's Yuki Spencer. That made me laugh.
His routine was pretty cool. How he had if you look at Mickey's thing, usually Mickey does a lot of repetitive stuff, and he used to do three rounds of everything. Like if he was doing some sort of Eli Hop trick, he would do the Eli Hops three times. This year he only did repetitions of two, but Yuki, he would have a variation on a move every single time. So like if he did a boing boing, he never did like two boing boings. It was like boing boing and then over under, and then, you know, like it was everything he did there. I didn't see a single repeated trick of any sort. And his combos were kind of set up in these, like, you know, there was his floor regen combo, you know, where he's on the floor and doing these regenerations under every leg, and each different type of regeneration, plus it's under or through a different limb. And he does something later, his through the legs, does a bunch of like through the leg tricks later on in his routine. One thing I was wondering while I was watching this, I wonder if Yo-Yo Factory had some sort of, for their sponsors, some sort of incentive program where you get like maybe $10 for every T-stack, regeneration you do. That's all I'm kind of wondering. I just see this kind of like someone at some point for no reason just holding on to the T-stacks and pulling the string. And I just kind of wonder if there's like some incentive. That would totally explain Steve's 5A routine.
No, I'm just, Steve's 5A routine had nothing to do with that.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, you know, Yuki ends with his tea stack pull where he
jumps over it and,
yeah,
and poses.
And then there's that one cool one. It's early on in his routine. He just had a kind of a mess up, and you see his face kind of slump down, sort of like, oh, is he going to stop? And then all of a sudden he just pulls the tea, you know, holding onto the tea stack. It doesn't even look like he's about to do anything, and then all of a sudden he's in the middle of a trick. That was pretty neat.
Yeah. So good first place routine all around.
Let's just briefly go over some of the others.
Did you hear about the drama with Two-A?
No, I didn't hear about the drama with Two-A.
Now let me see if I can get these names. Who won first place?
Same guy that always won, Shinji, right?
Shinji. And then Koji came in second, and he always comes in second. Like 7 years in a row or something like that, it's been this way. And everybody thought this was Koji's year. A lot of people thought Koji had a better routine even. It was definitely a lot more energetic and everything like that. But Koji still came in second. And I guess he broke down crying when they announced the winners.
It happens.
Yeah.
It sucks, but it totally happens.
Yeah.
Speaking of everybody thinking that he placed higher or whatever, I thought Paul Hahn's routine kicked Mickey's butt. It wasn't as fast, but it was a lot more solid. So I just want to say that Paul Hahn's singular routine I thought was pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I would have, if I was judging it, I would have placed it definitely higher than Mickey.
Other routines of note would be like Steve Brown's AP. His 5A routine's not up yet. I don't think many of the 5A routines are online yet, but Steve Brown's AP routine was his infamous tutu routine.
Mm-hmm.
In the past, I'd always seen him do that with metal music, like metal beatboxing. Right? When he put it up on MySpace, didn't he do his tutu routine with some guys beatboxing like metal? Da-da-da-da.
Nope. No. The routine as I've seen it before was exactly the same music.
I just love it when he takes the stage and he's kind of standing up there in his, black pants and a black band t-shirt or whatever. And then at one point he just fly and pulls his pants down. He's got a tutu on.
I always thought it would be interesting if he had tearaways on.
If he had what?
If he had tearaway pants on, ripped them off.
Well, I gotta say, it's pretty funny to just watch him just
drop trowel
his belt.
Yeah.
I'm gonna show you something I'm rather proud of. You guys in the front might want to step back.
And the big punchline of this one, which was different than I've ever seen it before, is his stepson Zane came up on stage and he said, "I'm telling mom," and that was the end of the routine.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was he mic'd?
I think it was in the music, but
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. Well, I did mention to you, I had tried for 3 years to get to the alternative, artistic performance division. And, Greg Cohen every year told me that the video I sent him was not in any way artistic and was a complete waste of his time. And he would appreciate it if I would quit wasting his time with my submissions. And that's one of the reasons actually I kind of stopped even trying to go to Worlds or competing, because I actually put a lot of work into some of these videos and then he just shot them down. I have to say I was a little heartbroken to see kind of a similar kind of jokey but still planned out routine that did get accepted that was so along the lines. I mean, I wasn't doing a tutu thing, but I was talking about the sense of humor was so along the lines of the thing that I've been trying to do for, 3 or 4 years, that it did break my heart to see that, and that I never even got a chance to enter.
That's a bummer.
Bummer.
And then his, we should also mention his 5A routine, which you didn't see, but
I was correct, right? It was unscorable.
It was unscorable.
I knew it. I called that as soon as I heard what he was doing. I was like, he's not going to get any points for that, but, yeah. You know, kudos.
Yeah.
I think the scoring system's a little messed up anyway, so.
Mm-hmm. Technically, what he was doing was not yo-yoing.
Mm-hmm.
But he was telling me a little bit that he really didn't have any idea that he was going to win. You know, there was a lot of play that he was going to win, and he was definitely talking himself up, but... He didn't actually expect to go in there and win. He just wanted to do something different. And hope.
He was almost going for more of an upset. Like he was, I think the only reason he was even kind of hyping himself up was because he knew that it wouldn't be scoreable, and he wanted it to be more dramatic when it didn't win. You know?
Yeah.
Like he was sort of trying to change. I mean, he was like trying to create something new, and also like, you know, in the process sort of help us refine the judging system maybe.
Yeah,
and in order to do that, you have to have an upset. I mean, none of the changes in yo-yoing scoring ever comes around until people just scream bloody murder.
Yeah.
Like 1 year at Nationals, a guy won by just doing Rock the Babies. And then after that, they said, okay, well, no points for repetitive tricks. Because it used to be just every single rock was a point.
Yeah.
So, I think that's all that Steve was trying to do. You know, definitely, you know, self-promotion was in there and all that stuff, but even trying to help us to get to think about how, I mean, cause all the stuff's changing, you know, I don't think we have an official way, for instance, of judging a grind or a stall, or a T-stack pool or any of that stuff.
We don't have an official way of judging anything.
Well, it's all still, like I mentioned before, it's hits, string hits.
Mm-hmm. The judges at Worlds were told they could click in performance points if they wanted to. And I think that's strange.
Yeah. And every year when people start talking about how we can make yo-yoing more professional, this is always one of the things that I look at. I'm like, well, here's a good place to start.
Yeah. Well, only time will tell.
Yep. So I can't think of any other, you know, videos that we need to talk about right now. We're still waiting for a lot of videos to come out. I can't wait to watch Hanks. I did watch a bit of, I can't remember the guy's name, the second place 5A competitor. And I'm downloading his video. He's a young kid, and I was actually kind of disappointed in his routine, which hopefully doesn't mean if he got second that I'm not really going to feel any of the 5A. I hope this wasn't a bad year for 5A.
Yeah, I don't think it was. It might have been.
Here we go.
Tyler Pesci definitely deserved to win.
Tyler Severance won?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you saw the whole bit about Jack. You cut out there. What'd you say?
Well, I missed what you were saying. I saw something.
Did you see the whole bit on the forum with Jack Rinka?
No.
Well, Tyler Severance is a Duncan player. He plays exclusively Duncan and loves Duncan. And Jack Rinka has been saying, publicly telling people for like a year that Tyler Severance is not going to be on Duncan because he doesn't have the right attitude and he's not good enough to be on Duncan. And so when Tyler won, Joe Mitchell actually posted up on the forum that Tyler won, and Jack replied, "Oh, I hope he gives me a call." And that didn't go over too well. And of course, Steve Brown, with his ability to call people out, said in reply to Jack, "How dare you say that, you know, after a year of publicly telling people that he didn't deserve to be on Duncan. Like, now you want him to, now you want
to be friends with him."
Yeah. So that was some good drama.
Yeah. Team Duncan provides lots of good drama. I think more than Omega, Team Duncan is always a good source of drama. I remember the Sandy Beach contest or whatever. It was just after Bill Leibowitz Classic, and it was in Southern California at Redondo Beach. When the guys from Team Duncan heard that lion name, the big muscular guy that Johnny Duvalier was going to be doing a routine, which was a big deal for Johnny.
Lionel Drake.
I talked him into it on the way down there, but he was going to do his first routine in several years, competing again. And when Jack and Mark McBride found that out, they gathered together some of their players and sat up at the front of the stage. And once Johnny took the stage doing his first routine in a couple years without any practice and, you know, kind of deciding if he was going to get back into competing and go to Worlds and all this stuff, the Duncan guys started getting up and yelling, "You suck. Hey, hey, show us your muscles. Hey." And just like totally jumping up in front of the stage between the judges and like right at Johnny's face or whatever, just yelling at him. I mean, those guys definitely provide high drama.
God, that's just the worst.
Isn't that the worst?
Yeah.
Anyway, and it breaks my heart, like, I don't know, like, to see anybody playing into the stuff that, like, we used to think Team Proya would do or whatever. Like, Duncan has totally become this kind of, like, the, you know, they're trying so hard to be the bad boys or whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's wrap up this fantastic edition of the Meet the Yo-Yo Wiki podcast. I thought this was an excellent addition, Josh. What do you think?
I think that's this has been our best episode yet, episode 36. 36 weeks we've been doing this.
All right, well, let's catch you guys next week.
All right, we'll see you then. Bye.